A string of break-ins point to a primate perpetrator, and only one man can put this criminal in a cage. David Caruso stars in CSI Monkey.
So what do we got?
Well, Horatio, based on the surveillance tapes, looks like our man is actually a monkey.
When I catch him, I'm going to give that monkey a good spanking.
This is one crime tale that's prehensile. CSI Monkey.
Horatio, we've apprehended the monkey and his owner. Turns out the guy trained the monkey to steal.
Sounds like a classic case of monkey see, monkey do. Hard time.
David Caruso swings into action and you'll go ape or CSI Monkey.
Promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right back.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done?
Next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool, I mean Winston.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday. Today is March 2nd, 2010, or as Kara would say, 2010.
2010 is the new, you know, the new politically correct, you know, way to say it.
But politically correct?
I don't know.
Yeah. You're making up things now.
Yeah, I don't know. No, it sounds like it's a little low. There we go. Or maybe I just can hear it. There we go. Perfect.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing real well this morning. A little flustered, but other than that, I'm fine.
So where's your wife going?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But let's just say that a lot of shit is happening this morning, and I'm not, you know, like phone call and, you know, like 6:30 in the morning from a customer and stuff, you know. So it's, yeah, in the morning, I like to take my time, you know.
You seem like a like-to-take-your-time kind of guy.
I do.
You don't seem like a rush.
From the moment I get out of bed until I actually start taking a shower and shaving and stuff, takes an hour.
Really?
Okay, yeah, I have to sit with a cigarette and the computer and a cup of coffee and take my time, you know. And so when you get me out of bed quickly and then I have to start doing things right away and talking to people on the phone and stuff, it's not exactly...
It doesn't seem like it's a good combo for you.
No, I need to take it slowly, you know.
Wow. Well, morning. You know, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, that are like that. Like my roommate, she's a corpse in the morning. And
really?
And she's got that look like, don't, I'm like, hey, Sarah, yeah. Can you, it's kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
Are you one of, okay, this is going to sound gross. I don't mean it to take it gross, but
okay.
You know when guys go to the bathroom, number two.
Number two, okay. I knew you'd ask
about that. Well, it's one of those things where My question is, are you one of these guys that like to like marinate in it for about an hour?
Are you kidding? You know what?
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like your dad goes with a newspaper and he just shuts life out. And I don't know if he's, you know, totally doing it the whole time.
You know, that's disgusting. Actually.
It is disgusting. But you know, guys are you guys do it. So I'm asking.
Well, you guys. Okay. Many men maybe do or some men do, but not all of us. Okay,
but do you know what I'm talking about?
To me, taking a shit is the grossest thing ever. Okay? It's one of my least favorite things in the world.
It is gross.
And every morning I try to postpone it, but then I realize I'm going to have to go eventually.
Yeah, you're going to have to
so
do
So I might
it.
As well just go, you know? But no, to me it's like in and out. Let me out of there. I don't want to smell anything. Don't even want to think about it.
You know, it's disgusting, and I am still a female, even though I asked that question. But I guess my point is like some guys just like to... I don't know if that's what they're doing the whole time, but they like to, I don't know, just take their damn sweet time. I'm like,
why? You said marinate in it.
Yeah, like, do you need to let it sit there and furnace up a bit and read some newspapers, and you know, because you said you took a lot of time. I don't know.
Yeah, and for me, there's like, you know what a courtesy flush is?
Yeah, like the mid-flush, just a...
Like a quick, right. Yeah, like, well, for me, I have like 10 of those, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, to me...
At your own house?
I'm not letting it sit in there for 2 seconds, you know? It comes out, bam, gets flushed.
Yuck. Yeah. Yuck. Do you share a bathroom with your wife, right?
No, we have 2 separate ones.
Oh, I see. When I get married, I think I want to do that. I just, I don't want
to.
I don't want to do the grooming thing with him. There needs to be some mystery a little bit. And I'm like a pretty laid back girl. I mean, I'm not, you know, but at the same time, I want to do my women things.
Right.
And if I need to, you know.
You need privacy.
I want privacy. Right. I don't want to be like, hey, can you hurry up? I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. That's why I was asking about you guys all living in the same apartment.
We're all girls, and it is comedy. I mean,
so it's different.
It's different. We're girls. I'm not trying to freaking attract Sarah or Claire.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we'll go to the bathroom if someone's in the shower and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And talk.
That's kind of gross.
It is, but it's funny. It's
now,
wrong.
Now, when you're with a guy, do you mind if he goes to the bathroom in front of you?
Hell yes, I mind.
Both, number one and number two.
I don't need to see any of that. Right. I'm like, that's... The thing is, the guy I was dating, he started to kind of like... fart in front of me.
Fart, yeah. I know, that's a big one.
And it's like, I was like, and honestly, it didn't bother me that much, but the reality is, I was a little bit like, are we really already there?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really need to, I don't know, like, I think that's for, like, when you're married and you've been together for a while, and it's just kind of like, oh, we're both human and it's funny, but I still want the sexy kind of, like, playful.
I agree with you.
Romantic.
You know? I mean, look, 5 years into it, I won't fart in front of her and she won't.
Even 5 years?
5 years.
Really?
Yeah,
you're not going to let one slip?
No, so that's why in the morning I get up so gassy and everything, you know, because it's subconscious already. Yeah.
It's like you hold it in even
when you sleep. When you sleep, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But isn't that something, though?
I think that's just not right, though. When you get married and you guys are sharing a bed, has she let one in front of you?
It's really embarrassing for me to fart, you know, in front of people.
Has she let one in front of you?
No.
Never?
No.
She's never slipped one out?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought like you get married and you're able to like kind of let some of that like slide a bit.
Many people do, you know. I think I'm just uptight about it.
Have you accidentally let one in front of her?
Accidentally, I must have. I mean, in 5 years.
I mean, have you let a loud one or like a bad one or anything?
No, just maybe one escaped or something, you know. But nothing.
I don't really want to be. I kind of want something in the middle. I don't want to be in the relationship where you can't, you know, let one go, because then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm instantly going to be like this ugly beast to that person, and we're going to be like no longer attracted to each other, and it's like, oh my gosh, you got to keep the whole thing up. But I also think that like you know, I don't want to also be in a relationship where, you know, you're having to like suck it back up every 2 seconds and you're going to throw up and you're like, you know, you're so uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think...
No, but I never get to that point, you know. Is the microphone really irritating you?
No, I feel like it's not loud enough or something.
Then let's bring up your thing.
My volume? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be really loud for
Are you there? Oh, perfect. Yeah. Maybe I was loud enough and I just couldn't hear myself.
No, no, because you sound fine.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it was just me then.
Yeah.
I needed more of me.
Because it's starting to irritate me when you're irritated with a mic, you know?
Yeah. He's like, basically, let's cut that crap
out.
Yeah, well, no, I just... So the guy that I was seeing, he started, you know, he started kind of letting him loose. And mm-hmm. not all the time, but he did. And it was kind of funny. It really was kind of funny. Like, you know, he'd pick me up. He picked me up and he's like, does my car smell like farts? I'm like, oh, you're disgusting. Give me the hell out of this damn vehicle. Like, he's like, I totally cut him. I told him, I was like, you know, because I'm pretty laid back with that stuff. But I was like, look, it'll get there. We'll eventually be like old people doing this stuff. But can we just like, you know, maybe tighten it up a bit?
Yeah.
You know, can we
like,
pull it
try
back?
Try real hard not to.
Yeah. And I think there needs to be like a balance where you can, you know. But honestly, I was in a relationship for 5 years when I was really young. And mm-hmm. we were totally in love. And that's the only guy that I ever totally let one.
Really?
Yeah. And then since then, I've dated several people. But it's usually just a few months here and there or maybe 6 months. And I've never, ever in front of another guy. I think really? You have to be totally, totally in love with that person and comfortable. And you guys love each other on many levels. It's not right. just the romantic, I want to do you kind of love. It's like the
right.
friendship and all that stuff, yeah. you know?
But, I don't think it's so much the relationship. It's just me, you know? I mean, I'm uptight about some things, you know?
Yeah, like, so
like
farting,
any bathroom thing. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
I'm very uptight about that. I don't know why. It's like, you know, I mean, it's something that
do you guys laugh? I mean,
does
she know when you take a crap and does she make a joke about it or anything?
No, never.
She never does?
No. And then I'm trying to look back in my life when I was really young. Maybe something traumatic happened to me when I was taking a crap or something.
Really?
But no, I can't think of anything.
Well, I commend you for at least having some kind of, like, restraint there, because most guys, I think, don't.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of gross. And I don't want to see a woman going to the bathroom in front of me.
Well, my friend, I went to pick him up the other day, and he's just totally a friend, and we were hanging out, and he's like, oh, I got to drop the kids off at the pool. I'm like, I'm in your bedroom right now, and your bathroom's right there. I got up to leave, and he's like, oh, what? That's culturally enforced on you. It's not a big deal. And I was like, this is forced intimacy. I don't want to know you that way yet, ever, really. He's like a brother, but I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I don't even want to. And you don't want to smell anyone else's stuff. It's like in your
That's
brain.
That's disgusting.
It's so gross.
And going into public restrooms, oh my God, man. I can puke sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I've worked in establishments where I have to like clean the restrooms. Mm-hmm. And men just, I don't know what's with you guys. You piss over everything and you let it crunch up and you let it just make a nice film, a glossy film over all the freaking linoleum, and it just everywhere. And it reeks. It's so gross. I don't understand.
Yeah. You know what? What I don't understand is dog owners.
Oh,
okay, having to pick up shit all the time.
That's the only reason I wouldn't want to have a dog.
I know. That's one of the main
reasons
natural. Why I don't want to pick it up. I mean, my God.
In
you
L.A.,
know?
You can't walk around with a dog and just let him go free in nature. You have to actually bring a doggy bag.
Right.
No pun intended. And
right.
you have to, you know, pick up his hot, steamy crunch.
Exactly.
And you could feel it through the plastic
bulky
bag.
Bulky, and if you have a big dog and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just disgusting. I mean, I watch all these people walking their dogs on my street, and I look at them, you know, bending over and, you know, picking it up. And I'm going, how can you possibly do something like that? You know, my question is also, where do they throw this away? You know, where do they throw it out? I mean... You know, they get back home, they have the shit in the bag. What do they do with it, you know? If they put it in the dumpster, let's say, then I think you would smell it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just don't want to go there. Like, and the kind of dogs I love are big dogs. So, you know, they're going to take a Clydesdale crap.
Yeah.
But you know what else is gross is a lot of these hikes I go on, one in particular by my house, is there's a horse ranch. And so you'll see horses on these hikes.
Right.
And horses take some mean dumps. And when they're walking, they just... They just like... You know what I mean? It's just like... Anywhere where they go, and their tail's wagging, and there's flies, and they're just letting these skyscraper craps everywhere you're going. And I'm like, they should have, like, make these horse owners pick up these piles of, you know...
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It's
anyway,
disgusting.
That's a long conversation about crap.
Yeah.
But I got something I need to vent about.
You do?
Yes.
You have things to vent about?
I got about two things, actually.
Really? Okay, well, I can't wait to hear them.
So I went to the coffee shop. I go to several coffee shops because it's, you know, internet and you work on your stuff or whatever. And I was at a coffee shop yesterday, and I was sitting there, okay? And I was just working on my stuff, and I was very into it.
And then I was getting up to leave. I turned around and I saw this man staring at me, and he had really gorgeous eyes. And he kept staring at me, and I was noticing he was checking me out. Mm-hmm. And it makes me nervous. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, it's flattering, but you're also like, oh, I'm nervous. I feel like, because, and when I get nervous, I just, yeah. I don't retreat. I become more like verbal, and I just kind of break through the nervousness because I can't handle it.
Yeah, you try to mask it.
Yeah, exactly. And I do a pretty good job at it. Uh-huh. So I just saw he kept staring at me, but it wasn't creepy. It was kind of like bashful staring, yeah. You know?
But how did you know he was staring? Because you were staring too.
No. No, right?
I mean, you've got to be looking.
No, I mean, I was literally, he was sitting right behind me, and so I got up to get all my stuff, and so we made eye contact, and he was, and I thought, oh, maybe we're just making eye contact, but he was totally checking me out. So I was getting really nervous, and he was really cute, and so I said, hey, how's it going, you know, because he's like looking at me, and I'm like, okay, fine.
You said to him, how's it going?
Yeah, I said, hey, how's it going?
You know, in all my life, I never had a woman walk up to me and say, how's it going?
No, I didn't walk up to him. I mean, we're literally sitting right next to each other. So as I'm packaging my stuff to leave, like my computer, my purse.
No, but it's still cool. I'm just saying that he's extremely lucky.
Oh, he is. You're so lucky. No, yeah, I mean, that's just the way I operate. I don't really go after men, but if I feel like something's awkward or I'm being looked at or something, last night, these other dudes, I don't know if they were Armenian or Persian or what, it was like fresh off the boat from wherever they were, you know, like with the chains around the neck and the armpit stains and stuff. Yeah. They were checking me out hardcore, and it was starting to piss me off, and I was on the phone. Uh-huh. And so I was on the phone with my friend, and they were looking at me, and I said, do we have a problem? What's going on here?
Really? And this was at the coffee shop too?
Uh-huh. I said, do we have a problem? What's going on here? I don't have, you know, like, figure it out. Like, what do you need? You know, and they were like, oh, my
really?
God, oh. And they like, turned, they started laughing. They turned around and walked away. But I'm just like, you know, either approach a woman. Do you know what I'm saying?
I can't believe you did that.
I know. My friend's laughing on the phone. She's like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, listen, either approach a woman, talk to me, ask my number or something, or stop staring at me like I'm prey in a freaking field of wheat, and you're going to freaking pounce me. That irritates me. I don't like that intimidate, trying to like kind of look at me and intimidate kind of thing.
Right. It's
like
especially when it's a group also.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe because I'm blonde or a girl, they maybe think I'm just like, but no, I'm just like, no, you know, figure it out. Like, what do you need? Don't have time. And they were like nervous. They started laughing. But back to the guy. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I guess.
I think it pisses me off, Sam, that a woman has to sit there and she has to pretend that she doesn't know. She has to feel all the eyes on her. She has to feel intimidated, or not intimidated, but just feeling like you're on display and nobody's making a move. It's like, I don't mind being checked out. I find that very flattering, but I don't like it when it's like almost like ogling, and you know, and I was conservatively dressed.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't control other people's behavior. You know, when you're in public, you take that risk. You
well,
know,
and then they could take the risk of getting called out in front of their friends.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Yeah, but I don't think that's something that would be bad for them. You know.
Well, I mean, they were both. They all started laughing. They walked away, and it was like they couldn't believe I said anything.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't have believed it either.
Really?
But so they didn't say anything back.
No, they looked at each other.
See, to me, that would have been an opening to start a conversation.
Because you're a smart guy. You're like, well, she's a little pissed, but now I can swoop in there and defuse the situation and, you know, turn it into a compliment. But I was just like, I'm on the phone. I'm in the corner. I'm in the middle. I'm like way out of the way of the whole the coffee shop. Like, I'm not even – I'm totally tucked away doing my own thing. And I'm just seeing all these eyes on me. Yeah. And, you know – and they weren't particularly attractive.
So, and theoretically, when you're on the phone, what business do you have to look at other people? Just focus on your call. And then you were letting yourself get distracted.
Listen, I'm on the phone. I mean, you look around. You don't, like, stare at your computer or something. You're looking around. I'm talking. I'm, you know, and they're the ones that are staring. And I kept noticing over and over. I was like, you know, figure it out. And I think that so much of sexuality, I think, is about power and domination. It's not necessarily because, oh, they want you and you want them. It's not necessarily because of that. It's almost like there's this thing, and more, I think, in men where they like, and I've noticed this, it's like if there's something beautiful or quote-unquote innocent or attractive, it's like a man sees that, and now he wants to, like, dominate it, or he wants to
conquer it or something.
Crap it up, yeah. And it's like, especially, and if you're a strong woman, that has a lot of opinion or whatever, and you become more of like offensive to a man because he wants to take you out. It's like he's attracted to you, but he wants to take you out and like, right. You know what I mean? And so I kind of feel this like sense of like I'm supposed to just blush and, you know, ooh, yeah. And not look at them when they keep looking at me. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It irritates me.
Yeah. Well, look, I understand. I mean, I don't know what it'd be like to be a woman, you know, but I can try and empathize.
Have you had any experiences as, I mean, we live in like a really big gay population. Have you experienced anything like that?
No, no, never.
Never been hit on by a guy?
Never, no.
Really?
Or a girl either.
Really? Really?
For that matter, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, everybody's got it. You got to try. It's not too late. Yeah. You can go to the gym.
Yeah? Do you think the gym's going to help?
If you just want to get a little bit of, you know, flirtation and you want to, you know, see if you still have it, yeah, the gym. I mean, I'm sure guys are...
Never worked for me at the gym.
Even with guys? Know. Like, guys haven't hit on you?
No. No, it, why would guys hit on me?
Well, there's gay men that are attracted to men,
that's
so...
That's true, but they don't... I think at a straight club, they're not going to just approach you.
Well,
you know?
I know...
You know what I'm
know.
Saying? I mean, unless you go to a gay club, then I don't think
no,
they
like
would.
A work, like a gym, a workout.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You're
so.
Saying, but there's some, there's you know mixed gyms. They're not just all hetero or all.
No, of course, of course. I just don't think that a gay guy would do that at a just regular club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so. But
I guess
maybe
it,
they would.
I think it
depends
was
how cute you are, you know, and then they approach you. You know.
Well, maybe you just weren't giving off the vibes.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the past I've always given given off sort of a vibe of like I'm not approachable or something, you know. I mean, I never really noticed it, but people that know me would say that.
Well, know? That you're not approachable.
Yeah.
I think so. I think my take on you when I first met you is you're a little hard to read.
Yeah. Really.
But you see, you are. I think you have a very gentle spirit and you're very open and you're very fun. But I think that comes out once you sit down and talk to you. But when you're walking around, you're kind of like at the cigarette, you get the leather jacket on, you're like, hey, I'm from Israel. You know, smoke my cigarette.
Stay away, right?
Yeah, I need I need an hour before we talk. but no, I wanted to say, so I met that, going back to the cute guy that made cute guy, Sam. Uh-huh. And I was like, hey, how's it going? And we start talking for about maybe 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And he's really cool and, you know, he's kind of all over, travels a lot. He works in, you know, in entertainment doing like crew type stuff. Really cool guy. He seemed totally normal, super cute. And, you know, I could tell he wanted to keep talking. I could kind of tell that maybe he wanted, you know, to possibly get my number or whatever. And but I don't let there be a lot of time for that. I'm like, if you don't do it quickly, I'm going to just walk away because I don't want to linger and it feel awkward.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, I gotta go. Say hello. Hi. And he was like, oh, do you come here often? Like, what time do you usually come here? I'm like, I'm kind of... And I was like, I'm inconsistent. I'm everywhere, so whatever. Maybe you'll run into me. Maybe you won't. But we did exchange names. And so I said, well, I'll look you up on Facebook or whatever. I said something like that because I had to run.
Right.
And so I added him as a friend. And he sent me an email. I mean, a thing that said, actually, let me get your email address. And I was like, well, does that mean he'd actually prefer to correspond through email or Facebook? So now that he confirmed me as a friend, I actually looked, and I'm on his page right now.
Right.
I looked at his photos, and I see all these, like, family vacation photos.
Uh-huh.
And I see all these, like, pictures of him with a couple kids, and he says, my family, and then there's a woman in these pictures.
Yeah.
And then as I go to his actual page, one of the comments says, kiss your wife for me, and it was from a friend of his.
Mm.
He's got a freaking family.
Right.
And on his page, it doesn't say that he's married or anything like that. And not that, like, it's going to, you know, hurt my feelings because, like, we just met, but it's just he's sending out those vibes. He wants to hang out. He's out of town. He's, by you know, in and out of, like, the country.
Right.
And but originally from L.A., and I'm just sitting here going, oh, it's so cool. He added me as a friend. And he's like, oh, he wants to correspond through email. And as I look at his photos, who's that girl? Mm.
But I wonder if, I mean, look, if he wanted to hide it, he wouldn't have given you his Facebook name. So the thing is, I think maybe he wanted you to find out. And
then maybe just shut it down?
And
why would
to just get together with him in spite of the fact that he's married.
Who the hell does that?
People do. People do. Maybe he was hoping. That's what I'm saying. I mean, guys really, like, assume a lot.
Guys are freaking idiots. Like, he's like one of those, I mean, you know, you never know anybody, right? But so I'm making a blanket statement. But he's like a really good-looking but yet laid-back kind of average Joe kind of guy, you know what I mean? He doesn't look like a player. He's a salt-of-the-earth kind of, like, you know, I mean, I've only met him, you know, 20 minutes. How much do I know about his character? But I'm just saying, he wasn't giving me those vibes. He just looked like a guy that was a little nervous, that was like, oh, I hope I can get her phone number. And I was running out the door. Right. And I was like, I'll find you on Facebook. So he gave me his name.
Right.
And then the message that I got from him was, actually, can I get your email address? And I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. And then I saw these photos, and somebody somebody commented, a girl on his thing, that said, kiss your wife for me.
Really? So now, did he accept you as a friend?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you put a message on his wall, something like, give your wife a kiss for me.
Well, I think that that actually is really funny, and I probably will do it. Don't give me. But no, I mean, I'm assuming a lot because I really don't know where he is in that relationship, and I don't know if he was even making advances at me. But he was. I mean, the reality is he was giving off those signals and those vibes, and he's the one that wanted, you know, to know when I was going to be back here, and he's.
I mean, look, it's an enticing idea, you know, when you travel and stuff, to have a girl somewhere, you know.
So wrong.
So that's probably what, you know, I mean, look, maybe in the beginning he wasn't thinking that, but as you were talking to him, he's probably thinking, wow, you know, maybe I can bang this girl. And when I'm
I can just bang you vibe, like, hey, everybody just
It's not about the vibe you give off, it's about what the guy thinks or what he hopes would happen.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not about giving off the vibes or anything, you know?
So weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, I told him about...
I mean, he probably, in his mind, he probably already married you and everything.
Married me? Did he really? He took me down the aisle, putting my
exactly.
finger in his mind?
Yeah, that's what
sure,
guys
he took me to his
do
bedroom.
Sometimes.
They don't think about the marriage part. Well put, though. Well put. Yeah, I don't know. That stuff is creep.
So that irritated you.
Yeah, I'm just... I think it's... Because I just didn't see that coming, and it wasn't like, and now I'm really stretching it, because clearly it was only 20-minute conversation, I was picking up those vibes, and, you know, but it's just kind of becoming so normative, especially out here,
right.
That people are like flavors. You just try people on. You try out a new flavor. It's a new style.
Right.
And it's like, forget the fact that you're in a relationship or married or going through something. It's like, everything's kind of free game, and it's weird to me. It's weird that it's not becoming weird. That's not weird anymore. Like, I was at a hotel downtown a couple years ago, and I was sitting at the bar, and there was a guy there, and there's some jazz music playing, and I was actually with my aunt, who was in from out of town. We were hanging out, and you know, I say funny stuff, but whatever. So I'm sitting next to this guy, and you know how you have those, like, the hotel, or you have like those little dishes of like nuts and crackers.
Uh-huh.
Well, I reached over and I was like, hey, can I have some of your nuts? I thought it was funny. Anyway, so that opened up conversation, and we're just laughing and having a good time. And then it's like, oh, he's married with three kids, and they live in a different state. And then he's like, hey, this is my hotel. Come with me. And then I'm like, no, I'm going back to my hotel room. We both get in the elevator, and he tries to basically, like, get me to get off at his room. I'm like, it's just not going to freaking happen, dude. Like, I don't – I'm just – no. I believe in marriage. I believe in the institution of marriage, and you're a total douchebag. So take your salty nuts and go somewhere else. Yeah. I'm not interested. But – and I mean, once I found out he had, you know, kids and a wife, I mean, I didn't continue to, like, flirt with the guy. I was – it actually turned. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know. But he just kept, you know, going with it. And it's not like this is new and it's – oh, no, married man trying to have an affair. Whoever thought of that? I know it happens, but I feel like it's becoming – or I guess maybe my age or whatever, like in my 20s now, you're more open to, I don't know what it is, but it's just like people are just really, they're open about being, you know.
Yeah. Because
weird.
Men like girls in their 20s. Fresh meat, spring chickens.
Do you know what I mean, though? Just that, like, really lack of, like.
But so what kind of a vibe did the guy from last night give off?
The guy, oh, he was like, he seemed very bashful and like, really,
I mean, did he seem like he was trying to pick you up?
No, not in a creepy way. It seemed like he wanted my number or something.
Right.
You know that feeling of like, oh, because he said, he goes, oh, when do you come here? When are you at the coffee shop? And I didn't give him an answer because I'm so inconsistent. I don't have like a certain time I'm there. I said, oh, I'm just all around, you know, and I did have to leave, so I didn't have much time to talk anymore. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he was asking questions about where I lived in the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he asked me my name, and like, you could tell he wanted to, you know, get some kind of information. And that's when I said, well, I'll just look you up on Facebook. I, you know, and, he gave me his name, so I looked him up, and you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, ooh, I want to, you know, bed you. It was kind of like, I think you're cute. I'd like to kind of stay in touch and maybe possibly, you know, go out or something. That's the vibe I got.
I see.
Yeah. But I'm just like, what? But maybe I should. But that's so, you know.
Well, you know what he's going to tell you, that he's separated or something, or.
That's not good enough for me. That's it's like, I won't date a guy that's separated.
Yeah.
No, you're either single.
Yeah.
Or you're married.
Yeah, but he might try. Who knows?
Who gives a crap? He can try on somebody else. That's so wrong. I actually knew a guy who we were dating, but he tried to start something up with me when he was finishing a relationship with somebody else.
Right.
He's like, it's over. It's been over. It's dead. I said, well, you know what? You're wrong. And you know what? The fact that you're still involved with her, even though you're ending it, it's not, you know, like, no. Yeah. He's like, it's done. I'm like, no, I don't care. These guys are freaking dogs, man. Except for Sam.
No, that's true. Guys are dogs. I'm a dog, too, you know?
Are you?
Yeah. We want to fuck anything that moves, man. Are you kidding?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what guys do. That's what nature made us. I mean, for crying out loud, you know? We're supposed to spread our seed as much as possible.
Can't you spread that seed all over your wife, though?
No. I mean, because you want to procreate, you know? In nature, you want to have as much offspring as possible.
Well, have as much with your wife. Like, just keep doing her.
There's no wives in the animal world.
But, you know what? Here we go. Here we go, Sam. You know, we are part animal. We definitely are. And I don't think physically, biologically speaking, especially for men, I don't feel like monogamy is natural.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
However, we're spiritual as well. And we're not just animals, because then we would just live in a dog-eat-dog world, survival of the fittest.
Right.
We believe in taking care of the vulnerable citizens. We believe that we are more than just our body, that there's more to us.
Right.
And so we restrict some things that come naturally, biologically, because of the better things that come spiritually and emotionally. And I think that not being monogamous may feel more base, carnal, fleshly, natural, but I think that it tears the soul of a person apart, even in men.
Yeah.
Because I know a guy that I used to work with, and he got down all the time, and it lived through it was part of his way of life, and then he was said to me one day, he goes, I don't even want to be touched sexually anymore.
Really?
Well, because he wasn't getting any real connection or real love, and it's not like he wasn't a man. I mean, he still wanted to do it, but it just wasn't. Yeah. You know.
Well, so because we're humans and we have our culture and we have our restrictions and so forth, that's why most people do not stray. But then some people do, because they go back to the animal instincts, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's primal, you know. When you see guys, it's like universal, you know. It doesn't matter where you are.
I understand.
You can be with a guy and suddenly a beautiful woman walks by and the conversation stops. Everybody's checking her out and sharing maybe a couple of words about it, you know? Like, did you see that, or, you know, or...
That, yeah.
Yeah, or
see
something
that,
like that.
That thing walk by.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I completely understand, and you're completely right.
Yeah.
However, if we operated solely on that instinct, just look at... I mean, you would have no civility anywhere, because it'd be like, oh, well, that's the last food. I'm going to take it. I'm going to rob this store. I'm going to take what's mine, because it's all primal. It's all... Me, selfish, you know?
Right.
So that's, we have restraints because we know that there is love and that there is something as generosity and sharing and, you know, it's not natural for our spirit either. Like, spiritually, I know guys really don't want to be dogs. I believe that, you know, it's like they don't want to restrain themselves though. They'd rather have, some guys would rather have freedom and what, you know, do anything that moves. Yet they don't feel great about themselves as a man. I know guys that are addicted to pornography, and you know, you can get away with being addicted to pornography and it's cool and it's so whatever. It's so every day everybody does it. But I know a lot of men, they do it, and truth be told, they're not happy about who they are that they do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, even though they may feel like they need it biologically or physically or something, but spiritually it kind of tears them apart.
Well, because it's not real sex. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, masturbation is not the same as if you were able to be with a different woman all the time.
True.
You know.
True.
So.
But this is still, I still think if a man's doing a different girl every night, after a while,
yeah,
you lose a connection to humanity through that, because it's not just, ooh, I'm getting off, I'm doing it. It's like, you're no longer looking at women as humans and full people, their parts, their body parts, their experiences, their thrills, their an emotion, their,
right.
You know what I mean? And it's no longer, you're no longer connecting them as full people anymore. I think it is spiritually, it does tear people apart.
Right.
Over time.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, your reaction is pretty normal, I think, for women, because that's what females, I think, in the primal way, do. They seek out the best possible genes for their offspring, and then, you know, and then a male to protect them and take care of them and stuff. And that's where you're coming from, you know? I mean, that's pretty much it. And then, but what happened in the past several decades, though, women have discovered that, hey, you know, I mean, yes, this is my primal thing and my instinct and stuff, but hey, I enjoy sex. You know, I don't have to have like a steady male to take care of me and stuff. You know, I just want to play. You know?
Well, whatever to that.
I mean, you'd be amazed. I mean, there's a lot of women that are really, really into sex, you know?
Oh, you know,
like,
yeah.
And I mean, not with their husbands, you know? I mean, I just...
Why get... Okay, are you saying women that are married that have open relationships?
No. I'm talking about single women, okay?
Single women,
they just like to be... to have multiple partners, you know, to experience it, and so forth.
I don't believe that. I think women take on that role because they're taught, ooh, that's sexy to men, and they start to, like... Basically,
so you don't think that women genuinely just want?
I think it's conditioned. I think women become conditioned through either their circumstances, loss, hurt. They become conditioned because of their value, or they become detached. Mm-hmm. And through those things, they may take that lifestyle up and make it. Oh, it's so great! I'm such a woman. Lipstick jungle, Sex of the City, woo! Freak anything that I want because I'm so liberated. But they, you know what? That's a phase. I know a lot of women that go through that. And then at the end of the day, they're like, you know what? I want to be loved. I want to be with one man,
yeah,
who's going to be there, who's going to love me, and we're going to have great sex.
Yeah.
And I think that's a man's fantasy. A lot of men, and you see it in comedy, you see it in movies, you see it everywhere. They write for women. They write these scripts or whatever, and they write these, you know, comedies or whatever. And they're writing for women, and they put their own voice in what they want to hear women say. Mm. And women, what happens? There's women that get off on, you know, seducing men and being men's fantasies. And it's not because they like it. They just want to be adored.
Mm.
You know, you look at pornography. Oh, yeah, some of the stuff that goes on in pornography, women aren't thinking that stuff up and going, oh, this would be hot. Mm. They're just playing into the fact that they want to feel loved. They want to feel approved. They want to feel like the goddess and the star and the starlet. So they start doing things and taking on roles and acting a certain way that, you know, they get a certain response.
Right.
You know, because that's not really the heart of a woman. But you know what? You do it long enough, you start to become conditioned to it, or you start to find your value and self-worth in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just don't be fooled.
No, but you're right, because eventually I think a woman is still a woman, you know, and
yeah,
she wants a relationship. I read a couple of books by porn stars, Jenna Jameson,
yeah,
and Tara Patrick.
Okay.
And both in both their books, they love sex. They like uncommitted sex and stuff like this. But eventually, there was always this thing that was burning for a really loving relationship.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess people need that.
Yeah.
You know, they need that attachment, I suppose.
Well, you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So?
I mean, you're married. Nobody held a gun, yeah, to your head.
That's true, but nearly that.
Not ever, whatever. But there is something that you had to say.
If you ask me, yes, I'd love to have a lot of uncommitted sex with a lot of different women. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I admit that.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also find out that I need someone in my life. You know, I
yeah,
need a partner. So it requires a sacrifice.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so you kind of let part of yourself die in a way.
That's true. It is very
true. It's true. I mean, you have to turn off that
yeah,
side of you that goes, wow, look at that woman, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
should do something about it.
Yeah, I think that, and I think that that's coming to a place of maturity, and it still can be wild and exciting. It's just you have to retrain and recondition yourself to find the excitement in a different way with your partner or in other ways of your life.
Yeah.
And I think that those are the things that really aren't promoted or taught in our culture.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Although you haven't been in a really long relationship, so.
5 years.
Oh, yeah, 5 years, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was very young, but yeah, 5 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was long distance, but we were together for the first year, and we, you know, lived together.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, it was long distance.
Well, long distance, I mean, that keeps it fresh, for crying out loud, you know?
It does, it
that,
does.
That doesn't really count.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that what happens is, I really believe that people have to learn to go deeper in their intimacy and learn different levels of eroticism.
Right.
Like, I think what happens is we become, it's just like anything, like you like to eat chocolate cake, it tastes good, there's, you know, chocolate is awesome, but, you know, you can't, if you're always going to go, you can't just, that cannot only be your only flavor palette, right? And I think what happens is, like, you know, you get together with somebody and you guys do it like rabbits, and you're just like, and everything's just exciting, and or the forbidden fruit, and then you guys get together, and then real life sets in, and people are fully people, and they have problems, they have nervousness, they've got issues, they've got whatever, and, you know, sex becomes robotic or becomes mundane. But it's not necessarily that the act, the physical act, is so mundane. It's that I think the connection isn't thrilling anymore because you've already maxed out on that level.
Right.
It's like, I think what happens is partners have to learn to grow deeper intimately. Right. Because, I mean, ultimately, I believe that, you know, God invented sex, and I don't think sex is made by God to be this thing that you consume. I think it's a discovery, and it's all about exploring and loving each other and selflessness and two people becoming one. Mm. I really think that physically that represents it spiritually, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's not easy because you have to learn, you have to grow, and you have to, like you said, you have to sacrifice some things to gain other things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But I still think there's room for anonymous sex. I really think it can be cool.
So what does Dina think about that?
About what?
Well, she listens to the show, right?
So?
So she doesn't care?
About what?
Well, that you.
I mean, I'm being honest.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
I'm telling you. I mean, I don't act on it.
Well,
Sam, these things go through my mind.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
And I'm a horny man, too. You know? I mean, I have been since I remember myself, so I don't have to apologize for it. I mean, the thing is, yes, there's, you know, to me, it's a different kind of sex. You know, you can have anonymous sex with someone for the physical pleasure of it, and it doesn't make you any better or any worse.
Uh-huh.
And then you can have sex within your relationship and then really enjoy it. I'm not saying you have it at the same time.
Okay.
Not simultaneously.
Thanks for clarifying.
I'm just saying there's different kinds of sexual activity.
But you don't think you can experience that with your wife, all those kinds of different sex?
It's, you know, anonymous sex with different people is not the same as, you know, it's like having steak every night, you know, even that gets old after a while.
Yeah.
You know. So that's part of it. I mean, it's a price you pay. It's a sacrifice you make.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's worth it.
I agree. You know, well, and I just hope that when I get married, I have carnal, crazy, throw you up against the wall sex. I hope I have loving sex. Yeah. I hope I have...
Well, you better test drive the guy before you get married.
Whatever.
I'm telling you.
Whatever. I just believe that when you love somebody, if you truly love them, it doesn't mean that it's perfect. It just means that you know, you're going to work those kinks out.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, it's possible.
It is possible. Yeah. You know? I just don't think I don't think, you know, people are cars. You know, you test drive a car, you don't test drive a person.
I mean, it's the same thing as living with someone before you move in together or before you get married. I mean,
I did it and I wouldn't recommend it.
You wouldn't?
No, they say actually.
So you're even against living together?
Yes, because you know what? It's one. It goes back to consumer-based relationships or commitment-based. And what happens is you're not in a commitment-based relationship when you have one foot in, one foot out the door. And honestly, divorce rates, they say, are higher among people who have lived together prior. So it's interesting because there's something about the commitment of it where you're saying, you know what, I do to you, I don't to everyone else, I'm going to take this leap of faith, and it is a leap of faith. You're not getting everything. You're figuring it out as you go. You're working through the kinks, but you're committed to the person, to God, or, you know, your view, and it's like this covenant. You're saying, you know what, I'm committed to this. This is in my heart. And so you take the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think that people that, you know, try it out and before they get married, they start to get into the real life of stuff. They go, oh man, this is kind of hard. This is kind of, I don't know about this whole marriage thing now. I don't really know if I'm going to go there with this person because they snore and a little messy. And you know what? I'm not really excited now about making this commitment. And most people think, oh, that's so smart and genius. Right. Back out when you can. But the reality is you're never going to find anyone that you test drive before that you're not going to have issues with.
I don't know about that. That's a generalization, I think.
I think it's called truth. It's called human.
It's your truth.
Whatever, Sam.
Whatever.
You know, it's called. You know what? Nobody's perfect. And if you're looking for a smooth ride before you say I do to somebody, you're never going to say I do.
That's not true. Most people do.
And that's, you know what, you're right. There are people that do, but, you know, divorce rates.
I think most people, not just, there are people.
But they may say I do, but like I said, statistically speaking.
Drive the other.
Yes, okay. Yes. And I'm just saying, statistically speaking, it's not for everybody, but divorce rates are higher.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I have news for you. Some people can be sexually incompatible, and if you don't find out before, then you're going to have a miserable marriage. And you're being too idealistic, I think. You know?
I'm not going to be too idealistic.
Well, okay.
I can't wait. I need to get married so I can work this out.
So you can prove it to me.
Work it out and then come back with a full report.
I'm telling you. But, you know, I've been in two marriages. I can tell you. I've seen people. You know, I've seen people get married and stuff. And everybody, invariably, it gets old. You know, and you really have to work hard at it. Like you
well,
said,
you're right.
You know,
I'm not idealistic. I do. I think the fact that I can see that, but see hope in it, and clearly you do too, because you are married. But I'm saying the fact that I can say, you know what, there are going to come times where this way that we've been connecting is going to become familiar,
right?
And it's going to become commonplace.
Right.
Anybody that's going to happen, and it is idealistic to think it's never going to happen. And it's going to be woo every time. No, I'm just saying. People become stagnant on how they connect,
right.
And they think, oh, you just need to bring in toys and a donkey, and it'll make it all better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I think it's an emotional, spiritual connection that needs to happen deeper.
But for you, it's still all in theory, you know?
Whatever.
It's a theory. I've been through it, so I can.
But we're different people. I'm just saying we have different philosophies.
And we respect that. I mean, that's why we have an intelligent conversations about it.
I'm
you know?
Just saying that I'm right and you are wrong.
Okay. I figured that's what you were saying. It came across as.
Whatever. That's just how I argue. Just how I argue, my friend.
Yeah, but I think. You know, I don't know. I think sex is too important to leave it just for marriage. You know.
I know you do. But you know what?
I know you do.
I know you do. But you know, and I mean, you know, it's not an easy walk, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
That's
no,
what I
well,
believe.
We have to respect that, you know, and but I'm just well, essentially I think what we're arguing really is the general differences between men and women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
too.
I think we're simply just typical, you know, and we're saying what, you know, the average man or woman would say. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that.
We're very far out. You know.
No, I think you're right, but I also think that like, it's not average for a woman to say, "Oh, I'm gonna wait till I'm married to have sex." I mean, that's so not popular, even among women, because I don't think it's realistic, and they, you know, I understand.
No, not to wait until marriage, but you're
monogamy
saying that,
and absolutely.
Yeah,
but I mean, I've heard it all before, especially living in LA. It's like, oh, live in the moment. You, my friends, like live in the moment, Kara, the moment.
Yeah,
it's all about the moment.
Go. Yeah, all the optimistic people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about here.
Anyway, Kara, we're going to wrap up early today.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got things to do and stuff.
Okay.
And so for those of you still listening, we're going to just replay the show in case you missed part of it. And we'll be here tomorrow, right?
Thanks for tuning in.
Take care.
We will.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the Palatial Studio.